one another, for each other, for the situation we find ourselves in, and again, for the Lord to receive the glory from all of this, that we might proclaim that message. Just a little technical tidbit of information for you, some help maybe. A few people said today that the live stream was buffered in. If it does that, a simple solution, pause it for a little bit, for 30 seconds or so, and then that'll just allow everything to catch up. Then I think a few people did that this morning, and they said after that they didn't have a problem at all. We will iron out these systems. Perhaps as our treasurer is not here tonight, perhaps our treasurer will help us invest in some more cameras and what have you. And as he's not here, should we take a church vote? Okay, church. John Thomas has probably just passed out now in his living room, so there we are. What a blessing. All right. So we will get these issues ironed out, and I'm sure this is going to be something that's going to be quite normal over the next few weeks with us gathering in this way. So we will get those issues ironed out. All right. Please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. And I would encourage you, even though we are live streaming, I would encourage you, please have your Bibles open in front of you again. Not just to follow along, but we've always said, you know, we need to prove all things by the Word of God. So I would encourage you to have your Bibles open in front of you as we come around the Word on a Sunday and a Wednesday. Tonight we're in the book of Judges, and we're looking at empty things of the Bible. And tonight we're going to look at an empty picture. We've already seen one empty picture where Rebecca or where Eliezer, Abraham's servant, went, and Rebecca was there, and she emptied her pitcher and gave drink to the camels. And we saw how that was a form of sacrifice and a form of service. And tonight we come to another empty pitcher. But this empty pitcher is slightly different, because this is an example to us. And it talks about the battle we face and how we as believers can take a lot from this empty picture, because we do indeed find ourselves in a battle today. Judges chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian." And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zeb, and the border of Abel Meholah, and to Tabor. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together in this way, Lord. We're thankful for the technology that we have today to do this. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless the reading of your word tonight. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, and that you would bless each and every home that's gathered together around a screen, Lord, around a TV, a computer screen, a phone, as we have this online service tonight. And Father, I just pray that you would use this in an incredible way. As we said this morning, there are so many more churches having the live stream today, and that gospel is reaching out across those airwaves, as it were, across the internet, and maybe in the countries that are unable to have freedom to hear a gospel message. And Father, I just pray that you would use this message in whatever way you see fit, that souls might be saved, that souls might be encouraged, that the Church of God might recognize the need for prayer today, and that we would recognize the battle that we do indeed face. It's interesting that this virus was termed as us fighting an invisible enemy, and we recognize the fact that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and against principalities. And Lord, we're in a battle today. And help us to recognize that battle, and help us to stand firm and to stand fast in this day and age in which we live. Father, we recognize the fact that you are indeed in control, that you are the captain of the army, as it were. And I'm thankful, Father, that we are indeed on the winning side. So help us, Lord, as we come around your word tonight, help us to take encouragement, convict us where needed, but above all, may you receive the glory, honor, and praise. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So we understand that we're aware of the account of Gideon. God raised up Gideon to stand against 135,000 soldiers of the Midianite army. Now, God didn't call a massive army to fight against these Midianites. Gideon had too many men when he started off. And we know the account of how the Lord whittled down those men to from 32,000 down to 300. And these 300 men would not be equipped with the most modern of weapons of the day. They were no siege engines. There were no rapid-fire crossbows. There were no swords or shields. There were no light Egyptian chariots, as it were, that they could hold a driver and an archer. There was none of that. All the Lord wanted these men to be equipped with was a shofar horn, a torch, and an empty pitcher. There is nothing threatening about these items on that day, as it were. This was such an important battle. I wonder, you know, we often talk about the test used then to whittle down the men to 300. And the men come into to Ein Harod, the brook of Harod. The men who lapped up, and those who drank like dogs, and those who kept the water. And we talk about that a lot. And we talk about brave Gideon, how he started off hiding behind the wine press, and then how the Lord used him. But the one thing we don't tend to mention were the people who made the clay jars. Did they ever realize or recognize what those jars would be used for? It seems a mundane thing. It seems like an everyday thing. You know, they probably made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those jars. But 300 of them would still be talked about today. And there's often things in our lives that seem mundane when it comes to the service of the Lord. You know, maybe our Bible reading, you might think, well, that's just mundane. That's something that we take for granted every single day. But you know, the one thing that has really spoken to me more than anything through this whole quarantine and isolation and panic buying is the fact that when I pray for my meal now, when we sit down as a family to eat our food, I mean that prayer. I am actually thankful for that food, because now you are thinking about, well, will this last? You know, if people do continue to panic buy, will my food last? And you are dependent upon the Lord. And there's lots of things that we do which seem mundane, but they're important to the Lord. Our praying ought not to be just mundane. This was an everyday thing that people did. They made these pictures, and yet these pictures were so important for this battle, that God would use these fragile pictures, these empty pictures, to win a battle. And it's incredible how these pictures are actually an incredible picture of us. This is going to be very hard now, because I'm going to be using picture, the clay jar, and a picture, an example. Maybe I'll just use clay jar, that'll be easier. These clay jars, these empty clay jars, are actually an incredible picture of us. For a start, they were earthen. They were just earthen vessels. These were empty pitchers, these earthen vessels made of the earth. And guess what? That's exactly what we are made from. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. These earthen vessels in Judges chapter 7 are an incredible example, or an incredible picture of us. And there is so much that we can learn from these empty clay jars in this particular battle, for the battle that we find ourselves facing today. So these vessels were earthen, but these vessels were also empty. And these vessels had to be empty. They needed to be empty for this particular task. These burning torches had to be concealed in these empty jars. If the jars were not empty, the plan would have fallen apart. If the jars were not empty, there would have been nowhere to put the burning torch. In order for these jars to be effective, they had to be empty. If they were full of stuff, there would have been no room for the torch. Or what was inside the jar would have burned, and they would have given their position away. If the wrong thing was inside the jar, such as water, then the torch would have been extinguished and the jar would have been too heavy to carry. By being empty, the clay jar helped prepare them for the battle. They allowed the torches to continue to burn. They masked the torches for this particular task in order to surprise and shock the Midianite army into panic. And in the same manner, if we are to be effective in the service of the Lord, if we are going to be prepared to serve the Lord, then we too need to be empty. We need to be emptied of the wrong stuff. That has to go. We need to be empty of stubbornness, of selfishness, of self-will, of disobedience, of doubt. All of that has to go. If we are going to be useful to the Lord, if we are fighting, fighting against Him and telling Him why He's wrong, if we are telling Him what needs to be done, then we're not empty, we're full of ourselves. And we need to be empty of ourselves. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease and He must increase. In fact, we must decrease in such a way that all that's left is Him in our lives. Thy will be done, not our will. It's not about our will. That's stubbornness, that's pride, that's selfishness, that's self-will, that's disobedience, that's doubt. It's all about Him. Are we empty enough to be effective for the Lord? Or are we still full of self? These vessels were not only empty, they were easy to carry. These vessels needed to be as light as possible. These vessels weren't to be heavy and weighed down. If we are to be effective in the service of Christ, then we have to get rid of certain weights that hinder us, that affect our walk. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If we are going to be victorious Christians, then we need to be on a diet. You know, one of the most difficult things now about being locked away in our homes, those who are self-isolated, we're going to be stuck eating the wrong kind of food. Maybe for some of us, we'll have to grease the doorpost with butter just to get us out after 3 months. Because it's easy to eat the wrong kind of food. It's easier to comfort eat. You know, we're maybe not getting as much exercise as we normally do. And you don't notice then maybe the weight piling on. We're in all our comfortable clothes because we're not going out as much. We're working from home. So, you know, you're answering emails in pajamas and loungers, and we don't notice then, if you like, that extra weight going on. But as believers, we need to be on a spiritual diet. If we're to be effective in the service of Christ, we've got to get rid of that weight which does so easily beset us. The writer of Hebrews said that we need to lay aside. What does he mean by laying aside? The word lay aside is from the word apathemi, and it means to literally cast off, to put away as quickly as possible. How many of you, this is really hard asking questions then and not really get an answer because Steve thinks I'm just preaching at him. How many of you have ever come to a point maybe where you've been in work clothes and they're absolutely stinking and you just can't wait to get them off? You feel like sometimes when we've been on camp and you know, we've had the bonfire and then you come in after you've been out and your clothes are stinking of smoke and you just want to get them off and, you know, cast them away quickly. That's what it means. It simply means to cast off, to do away with, to get rid of as quickly as possible. We're to cast off these weights and the sin that easily besets us. Weights are those things that hinder us, that slow us down in living for Christ. They are actions or attitudes that damage our testimony for the Lord, that affect our walk with Him. Attitudes like pride, covetousness, greed, selfishness, bitterness, ingratitude, sensuality, selfishness, they're all weights. And they literally bog us down, they hold us down. And they easily beset us. That means they skillfully surround us. They entangle us. They're sins that we tend to cling to, and those sins then have a massive influence in our lives. And we're easily conquered by them. It's almost as if we're unwilling to give them up. And God says, cast them aside. Throw them down forcefully. Get rid of them. Lay aside those weights and those sins which that so easily beset us. Get rid of them. Our clay jar, our pitcher needs to be empty of those things. And as a result of it being empty, it's far easier to carry. Because there's no weight in it. Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If we want to be victorious in our Christian life, then we have to get rid of those weights. We have to get rid of those hindrances that keep us from doing God's work, that keep us out of God's will, that keep us from doing what God wants us to do, what God needs us to do, what God has called us to do. Those sinful habits, those worldly activities, they are, we are told to put them away from us. And I wonder if today is a wake-up call for every single one of us. I wonder if God is getting our attention today to say, church, get on your knees and pray. Church, let's put these things right. Let's look at the situation around us and recognize that the warning signs are there, that the Lord's return is close. Church, let's get serious about what's going on. And let's fall to our knees and pray. Let's get rid of those sins which that so easily beset us. And let's be on fire for the Lord. Let's be ready for the battle that the Lord has in store for us. Wherefore, Paul said in Ephesians 4:25, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. He said to the church of Colossae, but now ye also put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Peter said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. James said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. There are some things in this life that we need to put off. We need to cast aside. We need to lay aside. We need to put away. These vessels were easy to carry. But these vessels were also easy to break. And you might think, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would we be easy to break that? Let me explain. It's the weakness of the clay vessels that made them useful in the hands of the Lord. Those vessels would not have been any good if they were made of brass or iron, because they would have been too heavy to carry, and they would not have broken when they needed to break. They would have been too noisy, too hard, too heavy. They wouldn't have been able to break them. But when they broke them suddenly, it was then that the light came forth. It was then that God's purpose was revealed from that flaming torch. It was when we are broken, when we have a contrite or humble spirit, we shine for the Lord. It's in moments like these that we need to shine like never before. It's in moments like these we don't need a proudful, boastful, and pig-headed kind of attitude that, well, we are okay, we know where we're going, God's in control, so it doesn't matter what happens. We need to be humble and have a contrite, broken spirit, and it's then we can shine for the Lord. It's then that we can point people to Christ. It's then that we can offer hope in a world of despair and distress. These jars needed to be broken so that light could shine forth. And can I say this today? We are living in a moment of time unprecedented in history where we are broken. But we can let Christ's light shine, as we said this morning. M.R. DeHaan said, before a thing can be made, it must be broken. Before a house is built, a tree must be broken down. Before the ripe grain can cover the fields, soil must be broken into small clumps and ploughed. All of these things would have some service before they were broken. But to be of further service, they all have to be broken. The sacrifices of God, Psalm 51:17 says, are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Is our will broken today? Is our will broken and yielded to the Lord? You know, do we do our own thing? Do we live our own way? Let's be completely honest. For the past few years, we have been comfortable as believers. Can I say this, and I'm not embarrassed to say this, but today, I'm not comfortable as a believer. Well, what do you mean by that? I need the Lord today, or I feel like I need the Lord today more than I've ever felt like I've needed Him before. And maybe it's situations like we find in the world today that the Lord has brought the church to its knees so that we can have a broken and contrite heart. That we can come before Him and say, Lord, I need Your peace and presence in my life right now. I need You to speak to me through Your word. I need Your guidance. I need Your strength. I need Your comfort. I need Your hope. I need Your direction. Why? Because I don't know what's going to happen next. But You do. The brokenness of our life speaks volumes. And after the jars were broken, what was interesting was if you go to Israel today, everywhere in Israel there are shards of clay jars all over the place. And when we went last time, the guide said, if you see anything on the floor like that, you know, you're more than welcome to pick it up, because there are literally shards of clay jars everywhere. The point is this: when those jars were broken, when those 300 jars were broken, all around the hillside, as the Midianite army was in that valley, after those jars were broken, there were evidence of those jars everywhere. They would be the remnants of the battle. And can I say this, that as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we battle for the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a remnant, if you like, a legacy that we leave behind. The brokenness of our life will continue to speak even after we're gone. You know, I still talk about my Banff now, and, you know, my Banff passed away just before Anna was born, and yet I still talk about my Banff, what a godly man he was. You know, every time he went to Grandma Banff's house, Banff was there reading his Bible. I loved going to Sunday school and just watching him up on the organ and watching him pray. Never have I ever in my life since heard somebody pray like my Banff did. And that's a legacy. mum is still in church because of Bob's legacy. My auntie Pat is still in church because of Bob's legacy. My uncle Dave is still in church because of my Bob's legacy. What does our legacy say? What will happen after our death? Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Our legacy will live on. It's incredible that the torch that was hidden inside the vessel would bring a shock and a surprise and panic into the ranks of the Midianites. You know what? What's unusual about this is battles didn't take place at night. It was no such thing as a night warfare. You know, they didn't have, you know, night vision goggles that we have today. You know, they didn't have that. So it was unheard of for a battle to take place at night. Not every soldier carried a torch in these days. So the shattering crash of the clay pots when they were broken, the sudden burst of light surrounding them on the hillside, the blast of the shofar horns, the blast of those trumpets create panic. And the Midianites believed that they were surrounded by a multitude of attackers. The soldiers did panic. You know, in order for our lives to be used of God, they have to be empty. They have to be easy to carry. They have to be easy to break. But those clay jars, those empty pitchers, those vessels were an example. The torch inside the vessel was a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit that lives within the Christian. We know that every Christian is a temple of God, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He shines in the Christian. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. As the believer is broken and yielded to the Lord, as we are emptied of all self-will and pride, that's when the Spirit of God can shine through our lives. As the Holy Spirit dominates the Christian, he or she will then become brighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians are the lights in this world. We saw that this morning. It's incredible. You know, I didn't plan it this way, and I just like it when the Lord works that out, because the light of the world is the message that I had, you know, already lined up for this morning, and this was the next empty thing in the scripture, you know, going chronologically. But the Lord obviously needs us to understand that we are the light of the world, and we need to let that light shine now more than ever before. People out there are frightened. People out there are confused. People out there, for maybe the first time in their lives, are suddenly asking, is there a God? Does the Bible talk about these kind of things? And guess what, believer? We've got an opportunity to be that light. We've got an opportunity to actually shine the way. We've got an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you an empty vessel for the Lord? Are you willing to be broken and used of him so that the light of Christ might shine out of your life in this dark and desperate day? You know, I came across an illustration this week. And I said it myself, and I didn't know where I heard it from. You know, I said sometimes we just gotta let go and let God. And I've said that often, and I never knew where it came from. And I came across this. I don't know if it's the start of where this actual account came from, but it was about a young boy in I think he was in university or college student. It was back in the 19th century. He took 6 postcards and wrote a large letter on each one of the postcards. L-E-T-G-O-D. And he put them up on his mantelpiece. And that's what he wanted his life to be. He just wanted to let God have every aspect of his life. All that he did, he just wanted to let God be in control. And he put them on his mantelpiece in his room where he was living at school. And one evening, a draft blew through the window and the D blew away. And as he picked it up, what he saw seemed to be a message. The secret of the Christian life. Only when we let go can we then let God. Only by letting go can we let God carry out his will in our lives. Only by letting go can we allow God to have the preeminence in our lives. And I wonder, what is it that we need to let go of tonight? There are many people who are hurting and maybe even confused, not just because of what's going on in the world today, but because of what you're facing right now. And sometimes it's easy for us to say, when we are not going through what you were going through, just let go and let God. That's easy for us to say. But the incredible thing is that when you are going through such a difficulty and you're at the end of your tether and you don't know what to do or who to turn to or where to go, and then God shows up and says, child, not I've got this, but I've got you. That's incredible. When the Lord simply picks us up and says, child, I'll carry you through this battle. Yes, there are going to be times when you are broken. Yes, there are going to be times when you don't know where to turn or what to do or even how to do it. I'm not going to leave you. He promised to not leave us comfortless. And I don't know what it is that everyone is facing tonight, because I know what some of you are going through. But the Lord knows exactly where you are, knows exactly what you need, and he's the only one that can provide in the situation you find yourselves in. We need to be empty tonight. We need to be empty of self, empty of pride. We need to be easy to carry. When our vessels are empty, as it were, then we can be carried for the Lord. We need to be easily broken, so the fact that having a broken and contrite heart, so we can allow the Lord then to shine forth from our lives. It's incredible what you can learn from empty things of the Bible. But I wonder, maybe if our prayer can be that, A.W. Tozer. He was a broken vessel that God used in a powerful way, and he wrote and lived this powerful prayer. Father, I want to know thee by my, but my coward heart fears to give up its toys. I cannot part with them without inward bleeding. And I do not try to hide from thee the terror of the parting. I come trembling, but I do come. Please root from my heart all those things which I have cherished so long and which have become a very part of my living self, so that thou mayest enter and dwell there without arrival. Then shalt thou make the place of thy feet glorious. Then shall my heart have no need of the sun to shine in it, for thyself will be the light of it. And there shall be no night there. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray. Father, we are thankful again for this time together tonight. Father, I just pray that you bless each one again, gathered around the screen, Lord, listening to this message, live or online. And Father, I pray that you would use it for your honor and for your glory. Father, we recognize the fact that we are indeed living in dark and desperate days. We recognize the fact that we are living in times of confusion. Father, we recognize the fact that we are living in a time where we don't know what tomorrow holds. Father, I'm thankful for the fact that I serve a God who knows the beginning from the end. I'm thankful that I serve a God who uses broken things, who delights in empty things. Father, I'm thankful that when we are emptied, as it were, of self, then, Father, more of you can be seen in our life. Father, would you just continue to bless not just our church, would you continue to bless all of your children gathered in this way today? Would you continue to bless the preaching of your word that has been proclaimed today online, possibly more than ever before? And Father, would you save a soul tonight? Would you help
a wounded soldier tonight. Would you bless your children tonight? Would you help us, strengthen us, and comfort us for the battle that lies ahead? And we'll always be mindful to give you the glory. We ask these things